And now that you're here, we're all in the company of your cool aunts. I'm Sam.
And I'm Ted.
And this is the Your Cool Aunts podcast, where we follow the lives and times of cool aunts through Claire's diary. So, welcome back. And if you're new here, hop on over to our website, check it out. You'll find Claire's diary entries, her photographs. There's lots of good stuff there. So go ahead, check it out. But first, we have a diary to read.
Welcome back.
Thank you. This is a long one.
You said that about the last one.
That's okay.
This is a long one.
I love it. Mm-mm-mm. Well, this would be Claire's note, at which point she says, nieces, aunts, and friends. Leading up to this trip, actually for about 6 months, I was feeling a growing discontent. I knew I'd have to sort things out, but first, I felt the need to decompress, to rest without thinking too hard about anything. And I knew deep down that time with my mother would be exactly the kind of rest I was beginning to fantasize over in my exhaustion. Still, I knew once I was rested, there was something I needed to sort out and decide. I wanted to have my own place, my own home where I could keep everything I owned without a mention of temporary storage. I was feeling as though I was spread across several countries and houses, all beautiful, but none mine. My dilemma? The basics, where and when. The how part was weighing heavy on my mind too, but I'd figure that out. And if all that wasn't enough, did I mention that I was planning to start my own wine importing business? We'll talk again because I know you'll have questions, and hopefully most of them will be answered with this diary entry below. Okay, Claire, just dismiss my questions and say wait till later.
You'll know when I tell you.
Well, the title of this diary entry is called Homeward Bound, like the song.
I'm not going to start singing.
Okay.
Okay, all right.
Well, I'm going to save everybody, and I promise never to sing here. So you're welcome.
Who sang that anyway?
Oh, come on. The title of this is Homeward Bound, and Claire starts. In the course of racking up hundreds of thousands of miles traveling for my job as a wine buyer, I have developed a few survival habits. For example, when I board a flight, I tend to isolate myself as quickly as possible in my seat with headphones, book, and a hooded sweater. My explicit message is that I am either too busy or tired to engage in mundane conversation with a stranger. It's no secret that airplane seatmates fall into one of two categories, excited and sometimes nervous tourist or another travel-worn sky warrior like me, solely interested in on-time departures and arrivals, and sometimes the aisle seat too. I fall into this latter category unless, of course, I'm headed home, when I could be mistaken for a tourist because I'm excited to board and ready to engage in conversation with my seatmate. I'm remembering one occasion when I ran into another one of my Sky Warrior friends who remarked that I looked like a tourist all excited to travel, and I responded that I was heading home for a long rest, and she said, "Well then, no wonder." I'm surprised that Claire kind of flips back and forth, but I understand it.
Yeah.
And I think I can say that I feel the same way, too. When I'm just going somewhere that I need to be, it's like, oh, okay, fine. Where when the destination is exciting, you're a little amped up.
Or pleasure versus work.
Well, yeah.
I think that's what it comes down to.
That's basically what it comes down to. So she continues. I can't figure out where she's going with this, but anyway. And Claire continues. Heading home for me still means to my mother's home in the northern reaches of Sonoma County now. Funny that. I'm getting away from my job in the wine business to rest in wine country.
Seems a bit odd.
I wondered to myself if this was what's called a proverbial busman's holiday. And I have very mixed feelings about my circumstance for the last year or so. I do love what I do, she says. Exploring the villages of wine country throughout France while searching for the new vintner or distiller making something interesting. Discovery is what drives me most in this endeavor, but it's exhausting too. I travel so much that I don't even rent or own a home of my own. By the way, I do realize that I'm complaining about a circumstance that could describe my own dreams just a few years ago. It's the constant motion that gets to me. and not having my own little place in the world. But on the upside, I've amassed a collection of friends and family who always have a place for me to stay for a day or a week or whatever I need. In New York, I stay at Laurence Brownstone. In northern France, I go directly to the Greneau homestead. And when I need to recuperate and settle down, I head to California, to my mother's house, or should I say cottage. Did I mention I have keys to all of these little outpost temporary homes? Yes, I do have some amazing people in my life. Okay. You're awfully quiet.
A child without
there.
A home. No, I was just thinking about what you just said. It's she's got all these great places, but not one of them is hers, you know, and there's something about having your own space, which I can appreciate that.
Yeah.
Although, I mean, she does have an incredible job, so I can understand her dilemma about, don't let me complain, it's a great job, but
well,
I don't have
why
my home.
Rent a place or something? When what are you going to do, keep an extra suitcase there? It's crazy. I get why she doesn't, but I understand what she's missing. And she continues, my mother's cottage. Her home is known as the Beekeeper's Cottage, and leave it to my mother to have a house with a name, even though it was not of her doing. I still tease her about it the moment I walk in. Anyway, and on this particular day, I was thrilled to be on the final leg of a very and too long series of one town, one day trips. Now, I was definitely in tourist mode as I joyfully waited to board my flight from Paris Charles de Gaulle Airport to San Francisco, where I would hop on the BART, the commuter train, that would take me an hour to the north when my mother would pick me up. Most passengers boarding this flight are dreading the 12-hour and 9-time-zone journey, but not me. Oh, no. I was bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, as they say, and overburdened with extra luggage, a backpack complete with a sack of sandwiches, candy, everything. Classic tourist stuff all the way.
That's a lot. 9 time zones. Gosh, that is a long.
Yeah, that's a long haul.
That's a long haul.
Crossing the country in the ocean and stuff. Wow.
She's going to a place she loves, you know. She's going to be regenerated.
Oh, wait a minute. I almost turned the page too quickly there. Here we go. Unexpected changes is the next section.
Oh, no.
Before I continue, any other thoughts?
No, I'm just thinking about what you just said, what Claire just shared with us.
I just go back for 1 second. When she said a sack of sandwiches, this is my favorite thing in the world to do. And I feel so prepared for a long flight. When I get on and I've taken a baguette and made a ridiculously big sandwich, not a thick sandwich, just like many pieces to it, because I know I could probably sell that sucker for 50 bucks, you know, in 2 hours.
Did you get an offer once from some woman?
I have, yeah.
How much do you want to sell?
I always take a sandwich. I take cheese. I take bits and parts. I've been known to get stopped because of my diced roasted beets for my salad. Really? That's another story. Anyway, but it is very satisfying to have something good to eat when you're on a plane, no?
Yes, very much so.
Unexpected changes. Here we go. Claire continues, that is until just 10 minutes prior to boarding when I was summoned to the gate agent's kiosk by a fierce-looking woman with a raised brow. I want to check back and see if she's flying Air France. My preferred airline. My preferred carrier. Anyway, this woman asked for my boarding pass. I showed her the barcode on my phone and she brusquely told me it was canceled to discard it. And then she issued me a paper boarding pass. Worried I'd lose my aisle seat, she interrupted me before I could say anything and said, there's nothing I can do. The change is mandatory. Yeah, that's classic French agent kind of stuff. They're very definitive about, there's nothing to be done, it's mandatory. I'm like, mandatory? Who's mandatory?
Who's mandatory?
Annoyed and back in Sky Warrior mode, I didn't even bother to look at the new section. I just checked the seat number. I've learned that accepting these last minute changes is easier than losing the battle. Oh man, Claire, I hear you. That's true. You know, it's like a canceled or a delayed
Find a
flight.
Seat, sit down
just
and be quiet.
Roll with it. You know, ranting and raving isn't going to do anything. And you'll surely turn off the gate agent whose help you might need later, right?
Right.
A few minutes later, in line to board, and the same evil-looking gate agent was now scanning boarding passes. The same agent who hijacked my aisle seat. She took the pass from me, scanned the barcode, and with a wink and a slightly emerging smile said, "Be sure to give my regards to Laurent."
Oh, okay. A Laurent friend.
Laurent's everywhere, isn't she? Turns out that the seat change was to a first-class seat for the 12-hour flight home. No wonder I looked as happy as a tourist on vacation settling into my new aisle seat. A side note, an extra dose of joy. What made this seat change even better? Well, when I booked the ticket, I considered using additional frequent flyer miles to upgrade to first class, and then thought better of it because it quadrupled the miles price. I never won a lottery, big or small, but I do think this might have come very close.
That's a hell of an upgrade.
That's a great upgrade. I have had something like this experience. I went to Greece with someone, and my dad was, oh my God, I don't know how many frequent flyer miles he had accumulated in all of his international travel, but he offered to get me a ticket. And with a wink, when he came back from, this is a while ago, he came back from seeing his agent, he said, "Oh, I couldn't get you in a seat in economy," and he gave me the information. And I didn't know until I checked in that it was a first class
really?
Seat.
Oh,
yeah.
Gosh.
Yeah. So I flew from Boston to Athens and back first class.
Hmm.
And that's a long
that's
haul.
That's a way to go.
And, that was a great trip, boy. Oof. Anyway, let me not sidetrack on that. So Claire continues in her story of her first class travel. She says, "The flight was one of the best I've experienced. I slept and I ate and I read and I watched three good movies. My seatmate, he was a delightful French guy on his very first trip to California for a business meeting. Like me, he had been upgraded to a first class seat and he was thrilled by it. So, no, he was definitely not a jaded business traveler." Okay. And Claire goes on. She says, "Finishing up my second movie, I got up to stretch before dinner service and my seatmate took the opportunity to stand up as well. We exchanged courtesies, speculated about dinner choices, and started talking about, you guessed it, wine. We really got into it. Details about the vintage harvests this year, doubts about stocks, real insider kind of talk. If you're at all familiar with French culture, then you know they'll never ask about what you do for a living, feeling that it's rude to bring business to a social setting. And I agree. Although in this moment here, it was getting a little weird to continue to avoid asking if I or he was in the business of wine. I wondered to myself, of course we are. How would anyone know these kinds of details unless, I don't know, maybe he was a vintner? Question mark. No, I'm feeling a little energy between these two people here.
It's a long ride.
She says, yeah, right. She says, he was clearly French, probably or maybe from the north, judging by the accent, and around 40-something-ish. I wasn't sure. I almost laughed out loud and wondered if he was sizing me up as well. And then he turned down the wine that was offered with the dinner. Reaching into his bag, he produced an unlabeled bottle, and he offered me a glass. Oh no, I thought, and I worried. He had one of those god-awful homemade bottles of inky alcoholic grape juice.
With the stems coming out.
Anyway, and she says, but I graciously accepted. Now, there's something cooking with these two. Anyway, she says, he poured and we tasted the best young vintage I ever experienced. Oh my God. So she says, I was sorry to see the bottle empty far too soon. He apologized for not opening another bottle, which was his last, because it was a sample for a consultation the next day. Well, they could have had half of it, you know. Anyway, I had been tasting and searching for a wine like this one. It was one of those happy accidents that I'd wished for during my 6-year tenure as a wine buyer, for one of the largest national retailers. And during this time, when I discovered a vintner like this, I could never expect them to accept an order from me that would consume the entirety of their production. I would never even ask, and instead I'd say that I was absolutely sure that at some point in time, we would find a way to get together again. I made some good friends in those little vineyards, all while learning the intricacies of their method, the tradition, and yes, their terroir. Whatever their title or role, the independent growers, makers, artisans, and farmers are the reasons behind my decision to leave the big box world of wine buying and do more of what I love, identifying and finding unique wines made by people who are literally a part of their own terroir. So, was this whole situation an affirmation of my decision to leave the big box and start my own importing company? Well, I decided to embrace it and accept my decision rather than question or doubt it. I decided to take the signals offered and start something.
Well, wow. Well,
Claire's getting a little like her aunt, Laurent.
Well, she's 6 years into this, so.
Actually, I shouldn't just say Laurent because I think her mother, Barrett, is pretty definitive when she takes things on and gets going. Don't you?
Yeah, I think so. Maybe she's been influenced by, I'm sure she's been influenced by both of them.
Oh, God, yeah. So, shall I continue?
Yes, please.
Okay. Claire continues. She says, we spoke of nothing but wine for hours. And then he finally asked where I had earned my knowledge of wine. That's an interesting way of asking, isn't it? Where did you earn this knowledge? I like that. I need to
remember that.
I need to remember that. I want to take a note. And Claire says, my answer was a little dodgy, but it just felt perfect in that moment. And she says, she answered, she puts quotes on it, in the vineyards and cobs of Champagne, and yours? Oh, Claire, that was a little...
And you?
Little,
well, by this time, they've had a bottle of wine, so...
Well, it's true, yeah.
She probably felt very open to discussion about such things.
You know, when I think about it, is there anything worse than the wine they serve on an airplane? Well, and let me put it this way.
Depends what airline you're
outside
on.
Outside of first class, let's put it that way. Sometimes at first class, they have non-horrible.
But not great. No. Just not horrible.
Right. His answer? He grew up with it. Initially, he was a farmer. And years later, he took over the family vineyard and started their own label. And referring to Natalie, Claire says, I laughed, telling him I knew his female counterpart in Sonoma. Once the conversation door had opened, his questions were nonstop. He was genuinely interested in the details of my story, even without knowing that I was in this business of wine. It was a moment when I wished that I wasn't a buyer. And yes, if you're wondering, of course he has heard of Laurent, and he's met her as well. She puts in quotes here, she's a legend in our business. I wish I could afford her advice just once. And Claire says, I did not self-identify as her niece. Claire's a punk. I don't know. She's not a punk. But
so he's saying this to her.
Yeah.
He wishes that he could.
Yeah, he knows that somehow Laurent comes up and he says she's a legend in the business and he wishes he could afford her advice just once. Claire doesn't say anything. The conversation waned in our seventh hour. Oof. He excused himself for a restroom trip and returning, he confessed to exhaustion and then dropped off to sleep quickly. And Claire says, I watched him sleep for hours, running through a series of ideas on how or if I should get into a, quote, business discussion with him. But instead, I decided to exchange contact information only. Business would have to wait. And then she writes in parentheses, for what, I wondered. Okay. Yeah, there's something cooking here. And then Claire says, I started thinking about the coincidences that were adding up on this trip. Of course, I felt Laurent's presence, and I also wondered if this was all arranged by her and a part of her big plan all along. There are no coincidences, Claire. She says, oh, I almost forgot. His name is Alexander. What a nice guy. I really liked him. And yes, we did exchange contact information. thoughts and comments for the peanut gallery over here?
Peanut gallery. I was waiting for the next comment. I'm always waiting for the next comment. So she exchanged. So she did it. So she made the connection.
Of course.
When she says there are no coincidences, does she?
She says there are no coincidences, Claire. She says this to herself. So she's affirming, like, yeah, there's something going on here.
Her seat was changed. Come on.
She's sitting next to this guy, and his seat was changed. Come on.
Laurent doesn't have that kind of power.
Fingerprints all over.
She does. Oh, and then the gate agent.
Yes,
right,
the gate agent said, give my regards to Laurent. Come on. Of course she does. The coincidence would be this guy sitting next to her.
Right.
Whose seat was also upgraded to first class. They never upgrade you to first class.
Well, maybe he had a cool aunt.
Yeah, I think he does. I think her name might be Laurent. He doesn't know yet. He doesn't know he has a cool aunt. That's the issue. Okay. I hate to tell you this, but I'm reading the last of it.
No.
Okay.
No.
So you remember they're headed to San Francisco, and in San Francisco, Claire's going to get on the BART and head north. So she says, I found my mother waiting outside the train station, the BART. She's quoting her mother here, and she says, finally, welcome home. Laurent arrived last night. She's waiting for us over the cottage. I told you. I knew it. And I did not see that ahead of time.
Oh, so that's it.
That's say two. That's
say
it.
Two. Oh, my goodness. Does she meet the Frenchman when she gets to her mother's house?
Oh, for sure.
Of course.
That can't be the end of it. We've just met a new character in her.
Who's Alexander?
In her life, I guess. He's bringing his wine to California to speak to someone. And he's bringing a sample. So there's evidence in this story. And he had to save the other bottle. It's an unmarked bottle. He's bringing it for a consultation. Let me put my finger in the air for a moment. This guy is very different because a Frenchman going to California to get advice about his French wine would be a rather unusual circumstance, don't you think?
Hmm. Depends.
Well, I think
we don't know what
this is the sign of a true artist, somebody who really wants to, you know, do the best with what he has.
Yeah. Yeah, he sounds pretty interesting. I'd love to know more about him.
And Claire is saying this is the reason why she wants, well, she's talking specifically now about she's changing her business model. Well, she's changing everything. She's leaving the big box company to start her own business, right?
Right.
And before, she couldn't work with people like him because he was too small. But this is what she got to
like. This is what she's looking for.
These special makers and doers of things. So, and I can see that. I understand the frustration of dealing with people. You know, it's, what do they say? You have quality, price, or delivery pick two, you know?
Yeah.
And people like that really work, you know, time and profit margin isn't, you know.
But there is a difference between smaller makers in other countries versus big makers here.
Versus, you know, big process kind of thing. And it makes a big difference. Well,
that's it, huh?
This diary
entry. We have to wait till the next entry.
Come to an end.
Ah!
Anyway, don't forget, you go back and listen to any of our episodes. Wherever you listen to podcasts, you can listen on our website, yourcoolaunts.com. We are everywhere. I'm Sam.
And I'm Ted.
And we'll see you next time when we're
back at the mic.